being human, we long to have everything clearly and simply communicated in almost a encapsulated format. It is preferred that everything we need to know be simply black and white with no gray areas. We long to have all the mysteries of life and the universe become factually known and understood. Our desire is to have relationships that is are forthright, open, in which there is no hidden agendas to uncover and learn. Then we yearn to be able to believe everything that is written or said. If only we could understand for certain what is truth and what is fiction. We seek objectivity over subjectivity. But this list of desires, which would make life so much easier, less complicated, and less time-consuming, are totally beyond the reality of the human existence. The human learning process is not as pictured in science fiction, in which all knowledge and experience can be obtained by a surgically brain implant or some kind of electronic transference. Just think, to have such an instant accumulation of knowledge and experience would eliminate all the years spent in school, all the years studying, all the years taking exams. What a utopia that would be. But the reality is we live in the real world of learning. Learning through gradual and often the painstakingly slow process of assimilating through gradual life experiences. Knowledge is the experience of building upon understandings which we previously have learned. In other words, we can't even begin to understand algebra or calculus until we first master 1 and 1 is 2, and then subtraction and multiplication and division. Truth then becomes relative to what knowledge and understanding we have at any given point in life. Therefore, personal truth continues to change and become more and more clarified as we live on. Such is the case with Christianity. Although the truth is at hand for us to understand, we must first proceed from the Jesus loves me stages before we can begin to understand concepts of God's grace, the incarnation, the kingdom of God, for instance. A prime example of this can be found in the story of Jesus' disciples. They didn't come to a full understanding of Jesus upon first meeting him. It took them years, in some cases a lifetime. So often Christianity is presented as some kind of mystical or magical experience in which its total understandings are transferred some automatically into one's life. It is like in a flick of a switch we become all-knowing Christians when we were baptized, confirmed or confessed that we were born again. It is so instantaneous and effortless. That is portrayed many times. Well, if we lived under such delusions, then we certainly are not aware of what happened in the lives of Jesus' disciples. We are told that disciples had followed Jesus for many months, if not years, and they still didn't understand what he was telling them, even by the time of the cross and the resurrection. Their minds were clouded by their own subjective, preconceived notions, understanding, and knowledge. They heard, but they didn't really hear, or it was totally beyond their comprehension at that time. We can all relate to that. At least I can. There have been times when I have listened to a lecture or a speech and afterwards asked myself, what in the world was that all about? Or I listened but only heard key words which then I chose to interpret in my own way, never really understanding the true intent of the speaker. This is the frustration of being a public speaker. After making what you think is the most logical, eloquent presentation, then frustration takes over when someone in the audience feeds back their understanding of what you said. Did I say that? The feedback was totally opposite of what was so painstakingly presented. This is the harsh reality of preaching. Well, one only has to be reassured that Jesus must have gone through the same harsh reality, since he knew his disciples had clearly misunderstood what he was telling them. The misunderstanding was well embedded in all of them, since even after his death, the reports of his resurrection didn't change any previous understandings. Then came that first Easter night, in which the disciples had gathered in an upper room. Some say it was the same room as celebrated Passover meal. They had locked the door out of fear that the Sanhedrin would now be after them, and they too would be tried and executed. But all of a sudden, there was Jesus. Jesus standing among them. Peace be with you. To say the least, they were not only surprised, but elated to see him. Maybe the new kingdom of Israel would become a reality after all, they must have thought. Then he continued, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Wait a minute. What was the purpose of this direction? Was it to follow through with the rebellion? After all, this was the mindset of the followers. The groundwork was being laid for the opening of a new understanding of Jesus and his commission. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Could we have misunderstood with him? Why is he asking us to accept the Holy Spirit? And why not him? Are we seeing a divine being and not a human being? Was he all along more than a man, just like us? Was the kingdom that he talked about really a divine spiritual kingdom? This was the beginning of real learning and understanding among his followers. And he continued, Jesus continued, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. What's all this about? Sins, forgiveness. Is he giving us the power to forgive sins? This must have made them rethink Jesus' many messages. They must have recalled that this is exactly where his ministry began. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. With the sudden realization that perhaps Jesus was not who they thought him to be, and that they could have misunderstood what he had taught them, it must have given cause for the disciples to question what they thought to be the truth. They must have spent the following week asking each other, "Do you remember this? Do you remember Jesus saying this and that? What do you think he meant by saying that? What do you really think? Who do you think he was? The Son of God? Is he really God himself? Just who is this whom we consider to be our friend?" Then a week later, he appeared to them again. This time, Thomas was present, who was absent that first night. Since Thomas hadn't experienced the risen Christ like the rest, he couldn't have understood the fact of a divine Jesus. Therefore, Jesus appeared again, giving Thomas and the rest to further question who this friend of theirs was. It was Thomas who first seemed to come to the realization that Jesus was truly divine and truly God's presence among them. For he was the only one to confess, "My Lord and my God." He spelled it out. This was the first real indication of a true understanding of who this Jesus was. The rest of the disciples then must have begun to understand through this defining moment by Thomas. This was the real beginning of understanding Jesus and ultimately his message. And then Jesus went on to say to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." It was with this statement that Jesus proclaimed that his message would go beyond those who had actually been in his earthly presence. This placed a huge responsibility upon the lives of those original followers, not only to remember Jesus' teachings in life, but to understand his true nature. It was up to them to pass this understanding on to others. It is important to understand that although the initial real understanding began in the upper room, it took years of remembrances and discussions and debating to come to a comprehensive understanding of the real nature of his message and what we call Christianity. The book of Acts and the epistles attest to this debate, which often became very fierce and even political. What we now know as Christianity evolved out of these debates within the early followers of Christ. And the debates ran from whether Jesus intended to just form Judaism or to become a worldwide, all-inclusive meaning of the nature of faith, God's grace, the Trinity, the Incarnation, a separate body. What is quite evident is that God's message was and is not an instantaneous revelation. Instantaneous revelation of truth. But it evolves and it grows every day, every year, through the history of God's creation. Through God's continuing process of revelation, the Holy Spirit, we are constantly learning anew, getting glimpses of God's kingdom of love and how it finds understanding and reality in our lives. To find true knowledge and understanding is a lifetime adventure. We find the ultimate truth when we too experience our spiritual being in the presence of God's eternal love. As long as we live in the flesh, then our evolving understanding will lead us to a greater belief, which increases the necessity of a growing faith. Knowing and understanding this Jesus is no instantaneous matter. It takes a lifetime. The journey begins when we're able to say, along with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." When we're able to say that, that's the beginning of the journey into the truth of what this Jesus is all about. Amen.
Let's rise and proclaim our faith.